T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bonus Pierre Maguire, which it's like Christmas. When your parents are divorced, you get two Christmas.
Andrew, too nice. Seriously, you and Chris are awesome. I love being on your show. It's great seeing you in person. I'm a little surprised you didn't want to run with me last night.
Oh.
We had some fun.
See, I get to punt on that with like a real excuse as having like a little baby at home. But I get to punt. Andrew, however, cannot punt right now on this.
All we have is dogs.
So I'll just tell you, you're both very competent in your jobs, but the best thing you'll ever do, Chris, is being someone's father. It's the best thing you'll ever do. Trust me.
Oh, I love it. The kid's completely insane, but it's
just
it's
remember
fun.
What you used to be like.
Oh, worse.
When did your son get the hockey bug?
Probably when he was 6 months old. I'm not kidding you. He sat on the floor in our house in northern Quebec. I was living there at the time, and he had a broom and a ball, and he would stick handle the broom and the ball sitting on his bottom. I'm not kidding you. And nobody showed him to do that. And then when he was about 12 months old, my wife ran over his bike, not kidding you, and broke his training wheels. He is just learning to walk. He was riding a two-wheeler when he was 14 months because my wife broke his bike. Then I said, if he could do that, he can go on the ice. And so I got him some skates, and he went on the ice and right away. So probably from 6 months to 14 months is probably where the bug kicked in for him.
All right, my kid's still practicing getting off the couch without falling.
Yeah, but he might be left-handed.
Yeah, that's the thing. We might have, if that's the case.
That's baseball, man.
You tie the right arm behind him and say, son, you're going to work on the circle change here. Spot your fastball, okay? This is what we're going
to
do.
That's right.
We had a couple of trades happen since we last talked to you.
Yes, sir.
Tyler Toffoli went to Vancouver. He was kind of on the Penguins' radar, at least with their fans. And then in the last few minutes, Dylan DeMello goes to
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, thank you. Mm-hmm. Just some thoughts on those moves.
Let's do the last one first. And I think the biggest thing is when you look at Winnipeg, what happened last summer. Dustin Byfuglien leaves for whatever reason. Nobody really knows the truth except for maybe Dustin. Tyler Myers goes to Vancouver. Jacob Trouba goes to the New York Rangers. Ben Chiarot goes to the Montreal Canadiens. And you're like, they have no defense left. And that's part of the reason why if the playoffs started today, the Winnipeg Jets wouldn't be in. They need defense. Dylan DeMello fills in a role really well there. So that's a positive for Winnipeg. Ottawa gets a third-round pick in this draft. This is an elite draft, not a good one. This is an elite draft. So that works out well for both teams. In terms of Tyler Toffoli, I think long-term, to be perfectly blunt, L.A. wins that deal. The player that they got from Vancouver, L.A., Tyler Madden, his father, John, played in the NHL for a long time, won Stanley Cups in Chicago and in New Jersey. This kid's a big-time player. He plays at Northeastern University. I know his coach really well. I watch Northeastern play all the time. He's probably a year away from being a dominant offensive force. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but I think he's going to be a dominant offensive force in the NHL. So when you put it together, I think Winnipeg makes out well. Ottawa makes out well. L.A. makes out really well. The Vancouver side of it's different because Toffoli – he's not really quick, and they're a quick team. And I understand they're trying to fill in for Brock Besser being injured and everything else. We'll see how that one works out for Vancouver.
Do you expect it with the deadline 6 days away to be like a really noisy, right immediate pre-deadline time, or do you think we're going to see trades trickling in the next couple of days?
I think the market's been established, Chris, and because of that, I think you're going to start to see more and more. Just this afternoon, probably two or three people that I know in the business were calling asking about different players. So when that starts to happen, you can see there's like a chain reaction happening. So the question comes down to, because of injuries last night, for instance, Colorado's got a legitimate chance to win the Cup. They really do. But they lose Mikko Rantanen last night. Mikko Rantanen's an unbelievable player. So that breaks up the chemistry of Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen. So what are they going to do? Well, Chris Kreider's out there. Everybody knows that. So will the Rangers and Colorado hook up on what could be a massive deal? Because they have a player, Elias Andersson, who defected from their team. He's back in Sweden playing. Would Elias Andersson be part of any deal to get him out of the Ranger organization and put him in Colorado where they're not afraid to take chances on younger players?
Pierre, do you think Ron Hainsey would still fit the Penguins?
Yes, sirree. I'm so glad you brought that up. And he's not the only – Pittsburgh's not the only place he would fit. I think he'd fit really well in Toronto, where they desperately need defense. You'll see it tonight. It'll probably be a great game tonight, but the Leafs' defense is lacking, so he fits there. I think he could fit with the New York Islanders. They just got Andy Green. I think he could fit in Colorado. I think Hainsey's one of those players that fits in a lot of different places.
How tough is it, though, with the Penguins having played such a difficult-to-play-against style to make sure you're not going for maybe a familiarity guy and making sure that it's somebody that can still play the way they want guys to play?
That is a great point, so that's why I think they're two guys. I think Hainsey can still play the way they want, and I still think Trevor Daley can still play the way they want. Trevor Daley won two Stanley Cups here. Second one, obviously, was hurt a little bit more. But if you go back to the first Cup, if they don't have Trevor Daley when Letang goes down, I'm not sure they win the cup.
Which guy of those two is the better fit-wise, specifically?
If Dumoulin
was
playing right now, I'd say Hainsey. You know, I watched Dumoulin skate today. I was at the rink at 9 o'clock. Dumoulin was on the ice. Bukestad was on the ice. They were working hard, but, you know, Bukestad was in equipment. Dumoulin was not. So that doesn't bode well for when he's coming back anytime soon. So I think if Dumoulin were here, I'd say Hainsey. But because he's not here, I'd say maybe Daley.
Pierre, how about Zach Aston-Reese week to week? They've had a great line there, the chemistry with Tanev and Bluger. The Penguins have overcome a ton of injuries, but I guess at some point there are enough holes in the boat it'll sink, right?
That is such a good point, by the way. I got to tell you, Andrew, when I look at it, Teddy Bluger is maybe one of the most underappreciated players in the NHL. He's a really good player. Yeah. I was talking to Coach Sullivan about him today. He's an elite player. They've created this role for him, and Aston-Reese obviously adapted well to that role. Tanev was a tremendous signing. I said that last summer when all the pundits were ripping Pittsburgh for signing Tanev. I'm like, how many of you have seen him play? I think he's exactly what the doctor ordered for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's perfect. So, yeah, no, I agree. That's a really important part of it. I think eventually they'll be able to find somebody that will fit that role. It's when you're on an elite team like Pittsburgh and the coach says, hey, by the way, we're going to put you on an important line, you better adapt to that pretty quick.
So I think everybody knows what the trickle-down is when a guy like Gensel gets hurt. There's a pure 40-goal winger and a guy who, maybe more importantly, figured out how to play and thrive with Crosby on his wing. We know what the trickle-down is there and how you have to try to replace it, but when a guy like Aston-Reese goes down, more subtle position on the ice and on the roster, if you don't find somebody that replaces him, how does that eventually come to impact a team?
Yeah, it might. The one thing I would say, though, is when you have two other guys on that line that are really diligent about their job,
can help out a little.
It makes the third guy more less important. Tanev's had a tremendous year here. He really has. And I just think, again, I think Bluger in the league. I've told one of the guys I was talking to this afternoon before I came on with you guys, they said, I don't know what you guys are watching, but I try to steal that Teddy Bluger out of Pittsburgh. And they're like, well, they're not trading him. I'm like, okay. But, yeah, no, the Pittsburgh Penguins, I have to give a compliment where a compliment is due. They figured out in this era of analytics, they figured out the art of team building as well or better than anybody. And that means that they've actually got boots on the ground, really good eyeballs watching players. Because Tanev's not an analytics darling.
No.
Bluger's not an analytics darling. Zach Aston-Reese is not an analytics darling. It reminds me of the 2011 Boston Bruins when they went to Vancouver to win a Game 7. Their best line was Danny Pailler, who was one of the worst analytic players in the league, Sean Thornton, who was hardly playing at the time, and Gregory Campbell. And if you go watch the tape of Game 7 of Vancouver-Boston, go see how important those three guys were. It reminds me a lot of what Pittsburgh has going on right now.
Pierre, what do you do at right wing with Sid? Because now you got Zucker, he'll play there, and now there's some conversation about whether Simone or Hornquist would be long-term best fit as the third guy in on that line.
I like Simone because Simone's hockey sense, Andrew, is really good. Really good. And Sid needs, from having – I've watched it for a long time. Sid thrives when he's playing with really smart give-and-go players, but also guys who know how to get the dead spots. And the biggest thing with Sidney Crosby, if you're not skating, you can't play with him. Don't worry. Mike Sullivan and I were talking about this today. The guys who first come and play with Sid, they're kind of like waiting around for Sid to do. Don't wait. Just go. He's like, Sid's a quarterback that can throw the ball 80 yards. Don't be the wide receiver that pulls up at yard 69 and he overthrows you. If you skate, he'll get you the puck. And so that's why I think Simone fits really well there with him.
I wanted to ask you about another guy that isn't an analytics darling. I think Penguins fans really go nuts about this guy, and he drives people crazy. Your opinion on Jack Johnson overall?
When I first saw Jack play, he was playing with Sidney at Shattuck St. Mary's. It's one of the best Tier 2 junior teams you'll ever see.
And they played baseball there together, too. They were a memorable fight, I guess. Too.
They were killing teams. I mean, I think they only lost three games out of 70 that year. It was insane. Drew Stafford was on that team, okay. Sidney Crosby, wow. Jack Johnson. It was a murderer's row of players. It was unbelievable. And so that's when I first saw Jack. Jack was really good. Then I saw Jack in the World Under-18s over in Cheska Budějovice in Pilsen in 2005. That was Sidney's draft year and Jack's draft year. And I was like, ooh, this guy's going to be really good. And then he got drafted by Carolina third, and they forced the trade. And he went to L.A. And I don't think it worked in L.A., and then he gets traded back to the East. And he's kind of always been in between and betwixt. And then, you know, he has the unfortunate stuff with his parents, you know, or his father in particular. I shouldn't talk about the mom, but the dad taking the money, and it's a problem. I just don't think Jack ever really got situated. I'll tell you one thing about Jack Johnson. He's a really good person, and he's a really good depth player on your team. He's not a top four guy anymore.
So ideally, like, he's a third pair defenseman that you're not going to be leaning on to play minutes, and he's a situational guy.
That's what he is. But what he is more than anything else, he's a guy that's never going to quit in a situation. So you put him in a big game, Jack Johnson will bring it. He'll bring it. He'll compete. Sometimes guys get overwhelmed in those big moments. Jack will not.
Tristan Jarry tonight, so that makes six straight where Sullivan has gone. Murray, Jarry, Murray, Jarry, yeah. Murray, Jarry. How long can you realistically do that, Pierre?
For a long time, Andrew. The reason why is I'll take you back to this is a little before your time, but the New York Rangers won the President's Trophy in 1992, and they had John Van Beesbrouck and Mike Richter, and they were really good. And if you go look at the ratio of games played, it was almost 50-50. It's pretty amazing. They were really good. And the only reason they didn't win the Cup that year is because the Pittsburgh Penguins were a ton better than anybody else. If the Pittsburgh Penguins weren't that good and they didn't have Mario Lemieux, I'm just telling you, that's Kevin Maxwell, by the way. He used to work with me in Hartford. Now he's a scout for the Rangers. Pittsburgh didn't have Mario Lemieux, the Rangers would have won that year. And they were flip-flopping goalies right to the end, Richter and Van Beesbrouck.
Here's one, this is a fun one. I don't want you to, you know, get on any city's bad side in the United States, Hockey City. But I saw somebody, probably writing like a fan blog out of St. Louis, said maybe it's time to take Hockey Town away from Detroit. They're having a really rough rebuild here. Give it to St. Louis. I thought, man, if Pittsburgh gets wind of this, people here are going to be very upset. Who's carrying the torch right now in the U.S. for hockey as far as, like, when you go to these cities, obviously, where it seems like the sport is at its fever pitch in terms of public interest?
You know, I'm going to tell you honestly, because I'm in all these cities. Tampa's electrifying. It is electrifying. Washington, D.C., especially when Pittsburgh's there, is electrifying. Pittsburgh is off the charts. The All-Star weekend in St. Louis was great. And here's the bad news for everybody. Detroit's rebuild is not going very well right now. I assure you that within 2 years, we will be having a much different discussion. They are chock full of prospects. They have big-time prospects coming. They have an elite general manager. I think they're going to have some subtle changes with their coaching staff. Unfortunately, I really like the guys that are there. One of them played for me, a really good guy, Dougie Huda. But people better be careful. If Detroit wins a lottery this summer and they get Lafreniere, I know about eight of their prospects right now, and they are A-plus prospects.
What can you tell us about the team the Penguins play tonight and on Thursday?
Toronto Maple Leafs have maybe the best pure offense in the league and maybe the most unpure defense in the league. They got an issue. So I'll take – these are for the veteran Penguin fans. Those 91 and 92 Penguin teams, go look at the numbers. Off the charts great offensively during the regular season. Not so great defensively. No, on purpose. Mm-hmm. We turned them loose. The entire staff said, go score. Let's run it up and bury people, and we did. The difference was when we got to the trading deadline and we started to snap the players to attention – with our coaching ideologies, they listened. And our guys were really good. And if you go look at the playoff records of those two Penguin teams, defensively, insanely good. Insanely good. And Mario led the charge. So I don't think Toronto can do that.
How do you – because Matthews is unable to, or is it the whole team isn't going to hear that message, or what?
Our defense was built with Ulf Samuelsson, Shel Samuelsson, Grant Jennings, Larry Murphy, Gordy Roberts. We had guys that knew how to defend. Because Morgan Riley's hurt and because Ron Hainsey's in Ottawa, they don't have a lot of guys that are pure defenders. And that's a problem. So it's not just the forwards, it's the D too. But where their big disconnect comes, if you watch them in zone, watch how many slot chances they give up because they do not know how to protect the house.
What goes through your mind when you put that ring that's on your right hand on in the morning?
Every day, I have amazing feelings. I have two Stanley Cup rings from this town. I'm so grateful for the time I spent there or here. And I always think about the players that I coach and the coaches I worked with every single day because of the rings. And I don't wear the rings in the summer just because, you know, I'm out golfing a lot.
Okay. I respect that a lot.
It's a little hard.
It's going to mess with the grip.
Yeah, exactly. But during the season when I'm working, I wear them because people want to know. And I think I could tell a story about everything with every single coach I work with or the great general manager that ran our team, Craig Patrick. Or the man that I spent so much time with, Bob Johnson, just across the way here. He had an apartment just across the way from where we're sitting right now. And I just remember, this is a good story for you guys. This is really good. Sorry, if I'm boring you.
No, this is great.
Okay. So,
well, this is like a formative team for me as like a kid growing up here to watch those teams. It was the first championships I had ever experienced for a
awesome
pro team in town.
Good stuff. So here, we beat the Boston Bruins the night before Mother's Day in 1991. So I'm down at the old Vista Hotel, which is now the Westin. That's where the team stayed during the playoffs. That's where everybody went, the players, the coaches. That's where we stayed. And Bob Johnson and Martha Johnson lived right behind the Marriott where we are right now. And so the phone rings. It's early. And, you know, I'd had a couple libations after the celebration. And Bob says, "What are you doing today?" I said, "Not much, coach. I think I'll go up and break some tape down and get ready for the final. We don't know who we're playing yet. It might be Minnesota, might be Edmonton." He goes, "I want you to go out there, and I want you to watch them." I said, "Okay, coach, I'll go out and watch Edmonton and Minnesota, and I'll get a good scouting report." He says, "Get out. You don't go tomorrow, or you don't go today. You go tomorrow." I said, "Okay, what are you doing today?" I said, "Well, coach, I'm going to go break down some tape." He goes, "No, come have Mother's Day with Martha and I." So I met them down at the Grand Concourse at the Gandhi Dancer. We spent the whole day there.
Oh, wow.
It was the most amazing Mother's Day. I was hearing stories about the Innsbruck Olympics, Colorado College, Martha traveling with the team. And at the end of it, I was like, thank goodness we're walking back because I don't think anybody was in shape to drive. It was one of the greatest days I ever spent. It was right here in this city with Bob Johnson and Martha Johnson. It was awesome. So you asked me about the ring. I think about all those things.
And that's why we have you on once a week, and in this case twice a week because of these stories, man.
Well,
thank you so much, Pierre.
Thank you for having me. You guys are awesome. You're true professionals. Here's another one for you. We were at Barrasso's house after we won in 91.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could find the cup. The cup disappeared. Somebody left it in the woods behind Tommy's house.
Who do you think did it?
I don't know.
Is that I don't know or I
don't
know?
Know.
Okay.
I don't know. But we ended up finding it. But yeah, it was really funky.
I like the cup being treated like a case of beer for a bunch of high school kids, basically.
Yeah,
just hide it under the leaf pile here.
Yeah,
somebody will find it.
It was different. I slept with the cup twice. That's what I really am. I did.
And I've drank out of it twice, too, although I don't really think
you buried the lead on that one for
I know.
Me. You never told me that. We've been working together for almost 2 years
I got invited to two cup parties.
That's awesome.
In 16 and 17.
That is outstanding.
I kind of left my journalistic card at the door there, Pierre, but those things
beer
don't come
or
around.
Did you drink champagne?
I went beer.
Beer?
Yeah.
Champagne will give you the headache.
We get a third try. Maybe I'll do champagne here, Pierre, and we got a shot maybe this June.
You got a shot. You definitely have a shot. This team's got a legit shot to win.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.